This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello everyone, dropping in before the episode to let you know that Giant July is about to kick off. Fellas, what is Giant July?
It's misspelled for one thing, a bit of fun. And it's also the month where we encourage people to go on Patreon and support the podcast. It's the way that we are able to do this show. Mm-hmm. And if you like the show, then you'll like the stuff that's on Patreon because you get a whole bonus exclusive podcast all about the world of popular culture. It's like a second completely isolated podcast that is also just as good as this one, or even better if you don't like this one. And you get that every week.
That's right. And for Giant July, we'll be giving you four special bonus things to encourage you to become patrons. You'll get a film commentary. We did The Wizard.
Uh-huh.
It's already been recorded. Very, very fun. We're doing a live game session on July the 2nd. Sunday, our time.
Fun with patrons, which will still be up after that's done as well. So you can watch it anytime, but join in this Sunday, our time.
That's right. We'll be putting up a patron exclusive Let's Play, about, you know, 2 hour long video game that we'll be commentating over and playing. And a premium episode, an extended special episode of the podcast where we do a fun little concept. So all of that exclusive to patrons.
Yes, head over to filthycasuals.com.au for the links to that. Support the show, get some great incentives for it. We'll see you over there. And now, on with the show.
Our first feature, though, is Final Fantasy. You probably heard about this movie if you haven't seen it. It's the first computer-generated feature that attempts to have truly lifelike human characters.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. Oh, we've got a big week. We've got a big episode planned today. It's been a big week in video games.
Yes.
My name's Adam Knox, the big week one of the podcast. I can barely lift anything, including myself. And because last week we did the 400th episode.
Yes.
Which was cool, but Nintendo, for maybe the first time in the whole time we've been doing this, put out a direct. It's such a good time for us to cover it on the next day's episode.
Perfect.
Yeah, midnight the night before, so it wasn't it wasn't like we had to stay up till an absurd time.
It wasn't so hot off the presses that we'd like be scrabbling to get our thoughts together.
Mm. And it wasn't one of those ones that is just like all third-party games with nothing of interest.
It was a hot one.
It was a hot one. Not what you would expect for year six of a console's lifespan. But we were duty bound to listen back to old clips of this podcast and react to them. So
self-flagellate. A lot of people saying, I'm glad I watched the video because Adam specifically seems to feel physical pain at hearing his own voice.
Not seems to. That's a visible reflection of reality.
Yeah. But that was a bit of fun and pain. So if you haven't, for whatever reason, listened to that, have a listen. If you're one of the people who said congrats on 400 episodes,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Where's the congratulation for 401?
Well, it might be coming.
Yeah.
I expect it now.
All right, should we congratulate
him? This is going to be better than 400, I reckon.
Yeah, this is hot. This is a hot app.
We got a lot to talk about.
Man, I want to talk about the Direct. Because there were at least three games that I was interested in from that. I don't remember them all. I'm going to be going from pure
instinct,
real life memory.
Yep.
Rather than the fake memory of a note.
Yep.
But here are the ones that jump out to me from that memory.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Yes.
A bizarre name.
Yep.
Yeah. To me, the brothers being it, like Super Mario Wonder, or like the rumor was that it was going to be Wonderland.
Right.
As it, because like Super Mario World and so on.
Land and yes. like, but maybe if Balan Wonderworld hadn't come out, that was the plan, but they dropped the land maybe. And it's, so it's like, it's a 2D, still relatively new Super Mario Brothers looking style 2D sure. game. It looks a bit different, but it's got
simplistic
like the multiplayer.
3D. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all of that.
I think the brothers bit being in there is the thing that they have now decided is what marks it as a 2D Mario.
Yeah,
right.
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 Yeah. So you're right. It is clunky when you say it out loud.
Super Mario, Mario Brothers, Brothers Wonder.
Yeah. yeah. But I guess, yeah, I think there's maybe an intent to attach it, to harken back to, you know, those original ones.
Mm.
Because I don't know. People were getting sick of new Super Mario Brothers, and they're like, visually, they've like redesigned a lot of the sprites. The Mario, you know,
yeah,
sprite
this
is like
looks like what the new Super Mario Brothers games should always have been. This right. looks like a continuation of the kind of creativity that they had in Super Mario World and even Yoshi's Island, which the first new Super Mario Brothers games, they were fun enough, but they weren't really reaching for too much in terms of the art direction and the style and everything.
I have to interrupt and push my glasses up from the center, like, you know, from the bridge of the nose up, and they reflect a little, and I've got like a smirk on.
Okay.
And you know the wearing, type that I'm doing.
Yeah, and you're wearing contact lenses, so you're actually you're jamming your fingers into your eyeballs and like sort of pushing the contact lens up.
Yeah,
the
rolling
eyeball.
Your eyes back into your head.
A sprite is actually a 2D pixel-based object, whereas these are 3D models in a 2D style.
Ooh. Yeah. Let's bash this cut.
Well, I think this is the first, like the main recognizable thing about how this new game looks is that the new Super Mario Brothers style, it always looked to me as if they had taken a 3D Mario sprite and just had the camera on him side on, which didn't always
like,
look.
Again, a sprite is not, can't be in 3D. A sprite is a 2D, two dimensional. Actually, you can't hit me because that's wrong. So
that's
you wouldn't
actually illegal, so you can't do it.
But it always looked
mistaken
like
about yet another thing. Interesting.
It always looked like they were treating this this 3D model in this space and wanting you. It to look wanting it to look kind of like how a 3D model would look with just like the camera on the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the characters in Super Mario Brothers Wonder, they've kind of got like a bit of a cheated angle where his kind of face is sort of more facing the camera. Like it's not a literal right. model of, here's this 3D model of him that we've dropped into a 2D plane.
Right, if you move the camera, it'd look like, you know, Jungle Runner or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah.
This is like they've purposely twisted him around a lot to just look more. And there's someone's put on Twitter like a side-by-side comparison
yes.
of like when he crouches in New Super Mario Brothers, he's just sort of sitting down. And then in this new one, they've done the very old school thing of like, he's like pulled his hat right over himself. It's
yes,
all like way
yeah.
more cartoony.
Like he's seen someone he knows but doesn't want to talk to on the train.
Yeah, and his big nose like sticking out from
yes.
under the brim of the hat. It just immediately looks more like,
it's got more character.
Yeah, way more yes. character.
It's
yeah.
a similar visual style that is way more thought out for
yeah.
sure. Like
yeah.
it, those new Super Mario Brothers games always, other than maybe the first, looked a little, the Wii ones and so on, looked quite cold and quite sort of boring, to
right.
be honest.
Yeah, just very mechanical. And,
yeah.
and this, like, they've got, he's got lots of more, like, yeah, interesting expressions on his face. He's doing a little very, like, furrowed brow thing when he's running and
some levels and stuff that have different styles. So, like, there was a silhouette level that looked like kind of one of the Donkey Kong games
yep.
did that, the Tropical Freeze or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, it looks like it has just more ideas going on, some weird little flowers who are standing around talking to you as you run past.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the conceit seems to be, you run through a level, you're getting these things called, I think they're called Wonder Seeds, which then you go into sort of like a weird parallel universe version of the level where the pipes are moving around and
yeah.
the perspectives are getting skewed and all that kind of stuff.
Whoa, dude.
Whoa. What? Were they smoking when they came up with
what
this?
What were Shiggy and the boys chuffing away at?
Well, they do love their mushrooms. And so, yeah, this I think we're all excited for.
Yeah, like a new Mario game is always a big deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks like them doing the thing that Mario in particular does really well.
Yes.
Which is Do something weird.
Do something creative, and, innovative, and then
make Mario a little thing of corn or whatever that he was in Odyssey.
I didn't think they. I kind of really didn't think that they had something like this in them, but it is cool for them to see them sort of go. Well, the movie's been massive. We've got the theme parks. You know, like they should be taking risks like this with the games,
right?
Because with Mario, he is Mickey Mouse, right? Like, it's not like if they take a little risk with a game and it doesn't quite land, that the cultural relevance of him isn't going to be impacted by that in any way. So the games are the point where they should experiment.
It'll only be impacted by him being bland.
So
this is the right way to go about it, and that is exciting.
They have heard the call. They've answered the call, Ghostbusters style.
Yeah.
Because there's not just Super Mario Brothers Wonder. There's a remake of Super Mario Brothers RPG.
That has been a big kind of. It was cult following for a while, but then was cult following for long enough that enough people joined the cult that now it is just a regular religion. And people have
like
been,
Scientology. I've been telling you guys every week.
Hey guys, we're releasing this. We know people always get annoyed at the price of our remakes. Well, good news. This one is free, but you have to come into Nintendo and you have to admit to every wrongdoing you've ever done in your life. We will be filming it, and then you can have the game for free. Doesn't that sound good?
Nintendo Switch Online is now 50% of your income, and you have to pay it to us. And don't talk to any Xbox fans. They are negative people, or whatever that term.
Something.
That they use.
Well, I mean, buying the remake will cost you half of your income because it is a full priced game.
It is, yeah. It's and it looks cool. Like they've done that same isometric style, and they've turned the sprites into 3D models where the camera can pan around during a boss fight or some
such. I think you'll find suck me off.
Counterpoint, Your Honor. This was rumored before the direct.
And has been for probably 15 years plus.
Yes.
It's one of those like Earthboundy Mother 3 type of things where people just keep going like, fucking, what's his name? Gino is going to be in Smash now.
Yeah.
But this was surprising to me.
Gino and Mellow?
There are a couple of them, I reckon. Yeah. Mario.
Peach. This was surprising to me that they had stuck with the same art style. I kind of went, like, I thought, oh, if this room is true, it'll be very much like they'll use the sort of more modern models of Mario that they use in, like, a, you know, Mario Rabbids, the very like style guide thing that they have. But in this, they've kept him sort of like he looks on the SNES one. He's kind of like squat, and he's like a little bit fucked up looking. Like, I really love that they've just
like he's the wrong aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Like he's this like fucked weird little rugby player Mario.
Yeah. I really love it. I really love that they've just like kept that, they've just like upgraded that style. Like they haven't made it, they haven't like, rounded all the edges off. It looks like it's still got that weird design to it, which again, I didn't think that's the kind of stuff that they did with their design now, especially when they remake something.
It seems to be like a pretty straight up remake of that game too, as it like it will be the same as that SNES game, which people love. I've only ever played like an hour or two of that, like emulated back in the day.
Right, yeah, I've never played it. It was originally a Square game, right?
It was, yeah. And then it
might be
sort
the last
of
thing they made with for Nintendo, right?
It was one of those ones that came out on the SNES like after the 64 was out, I think.
Oh, sure.
I think you're right. And it never came out in Australia.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But
then the PlayStation snafu happened and, no more Square Nintendo.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. A little like, this is like a SNES game. Nicer graphic. It's the same as that Link's Awakening one, I suppose, where it's like jazzier art style, exactly the same as the Game Boy game. And then full price, which, cool, whatever. I've gotten over that now. I'll let them do it.
Was the Link's Awakening one full price?
Yeah. Well, this is like at that $70 in Australia full price.
They're not up to... Like they bumped up the price for Tears of the Kingdom, but I don't think they've done that for anything. Like, that hasn't become their standard yet.
I'm fairly sure they said as well that that was just going to happen for that game only. Like, it wasn't the future. And it obviously will take place again in the future, and the Switch 2 or whatever will be that price. But
I think everything else coming up is like $80.
Yeah, okay.
So they haven't, they haven't made the whatever it is, $110.
No, $125 now.
Yeah.
Fucking stuff.
I reckon I got Tears of the Kingdom for like $80 though. Retail, like at a shop.
Oh, yeah. At shops, they're still... I don't understand how all that stuff works. Yeah. But often at shops, things are... I mean, like a PS5 game will be $79 at JB or whatever, but it is $125 digital.
Crazy.
It's a wild world we live in.
This is a slight digression, but there's also been rumors that a bunch of future games, I think maybe Microsoft-y games are going to potentially be digital only. So like Starfield, there was a rumor.
Yeah.
That may be digital only.
That one they've confirmed it'll have a disc, but this has happened a few times that the collector's edition will only have a code.
Oh, yeah.
Which has happened before. Alan Wake 2 is one of them that is only digital, but then that's $95 Australian. So and they've been like, well, we can discount the price because it's digital only, but one day it'll all be digital, right?
That's right. And
unless the sun flare happens.
Fingers crossed. Because the Alan Wake 2, they also said, it means we can work on the game up until the day of release.
Which every company does anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It's a day one patch. Anyway, back to Nintendo, sorry.
But yeah, the original composer is back to work on this to kind of update all the tunes in that. Sick. I'm looking at it, I think I've only ever, I've maybe played like the first hour, I've watched a video of it on YouTube, I've never fully gone all the way in. Seems like it is like a very classic turn-based style RPG, people talk about the script being very funny, and it was kind of like the first things to sort of flesh out the world of Mario, because it's still... It's being developed around the time of Mario 64, but in terms of like the kind of personality of those worlds and stuff, there really wasn't much in the way of that yet.
It's that weird time where they're like, I guess there's dinosaurs in Mario World, and that's like one of the main things.
And they introduced these characters that, like, we were talking about Gino and Mello that have just then never existed in anything else.
Is Pinocchio in Mario? I guess we'll put him in.
I'm in the mood for, like, a turn-based JRPG as well.
Me too.
It's a fairly simplified one that, like, it led to Paper Mario and the Mario and Luigi games, which sort of take the style of it.
They've got their
more
own,
in the Pokemon realm of turn-based JRPG simplicity, right?
Kind of, and I think it has the Paper Mario thing of like time your jump on the guy's head to do double damage.
Right. Those both look cool. They also weirdly made a point of showing about 3 seconds of a Princess Peach game that they're working on that'll be coming out next year. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned that they're doing a visual upgraded edition of Luigi's Mansion 2 also for next year, which again they showed off about 2 seconds of. Very kind of like weird pointed thing of... Because it looked like for the rest of the year there really wasn't much on the plate, and then they do this and all of a sudden now there is quite a bit still to come in 2023, but that they were also stretching to go like, there'll be stuff coming next year as well.
The Mario stuff. They're like, Mario's hot, right? And guess what? We'll keep making Mario-related games.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Which is good. It does feel like it's been a while since they were like, apart from Zelda. Zelda's always been in the background for the past few years. But like, remember our main characters?
Yeah.
Mario and Luigi?
Yeah.
And Peach?
Because Odyssey was the launch year of the Switch.
Late 2017.
October or something. Yes. And
when we're playing it in a tiny room in Hong Kong.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's come out?
And Bowser's Fury, I guess, was a newish Mario thing in 2021.
Yeah, that sounds right. There's probably been... they put out the Wii U New Super Mario Brothers, not even remaster. Like, they put that out on the Switch.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you're right, in terms of like a... And this is cool because it's not only, like with Wonder, it's not only a new Super Mario Brothers. It's like, it's kind of potentially its own whole new sort of franchise.
I doubt it will be that different to the new Super Mario Brothers ones just from how the gameplay looked.
It
looked like that, which isn't a bad thing.
It's
necessarily
more, like a re-centering of what the 2D Mario games
are. Sure, but
it's like Odyssey and Galaxy and stuff where like, well, they're all sequels to 64, but they're in a different sort of scenario or whatever.
Yeah.
I expect it to sort
but
of
in terms
like
of
that.
Like the art direction and the like that conceit of the, you know, going into like the weird parallel version of the levels, like maybe that'll be the thing where they go, oh, now we're doing Mario Brothers 1 to 2. You know, like they've just got that little thing aside as the new... I assume that this is the new... I can't really see them going back now after this and doing a new Super Mario. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is what the 2D Mario games are going forward. They're
and
like this
is
version
that,
of it.
Because it's got the like they showed like a couple of extra green and yellow toads who were clearly players. Like it is that those new games.
Yep.
But with a different paint.
Also interesting in this direct.
I like Mario games.
No,
I like paint.
Oh man, tastes delicious.
No mention in this direct at any point of Everybody 1-2 Switch, which was coming out a week after.
Did they?
Although, they dropped the trailer separately. Oh, remember, sure, like right. A week before that.
No mention of Everybody 1-2 Switch, but an announcement of a new WarioWare game.
Yes,
which is all movement based, which looks like what everyone has said the original 1-2 Switch should have been from day one of the Switch coming out.
That this Wario game, should have come out then.
Yeah.
In 2017. Yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to that too. I love the WarioWare games.
Because, what happened? They released the old ones?
No, they put out that new one
they
that
released
was.
A new one. Yeah.
God, what? Get It Together?
That's. I'm trying. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. That, so that was like a new thing, but it didn't really use the Switch controls. What was that one's gimmick? That they were slightly longer or something?
A bunch of different characters as well, right?
Yeah, that was kind of like a platformer. You would play as a little character, each one controlled differently, and then you would get given the task.
Yes.
And you would have to just do it using that specific character's
set
of moves. And I liked it, but it was fun, but it wasn't like, didn't feel like it. I don't think it scratched that classic WarioWare itch for people who really love those games, which this looks like it is a bit more in that classic style of those games. And it looks, I mean, I'm not, a big fan of the motion controller kind of stuff, but if you are going to do it, this is the way to do it, I think. Like very, very brief visual cues, like there's a guy skiing, so obviously, like not having to
sit
through a big...
Quick, jack him off,
not having to sit through a big screen that explains, like, well, now what you're going to have to do here is tilt to the left to move to the, like, literally just like, here it is, figure it out, 5 seconds, done.
That was smooth moves on the Wii, and that one was really fun.
Again, I'm sure it's the point. They sound like perfect party games when they're that simplistic.
Yeah.
Like when it's just like, just dive in, you react instantly, don't read any rules.
Yeah.
Which is the perfect kind of party game.
There was something where in Japan, smooth
keys
moves...
Keys in the bowl. Joy-Cons in the hand.
Close your eyes.
Smooth moves had like a slightly different title in Japanese, and the title of this new one in Japanese translates to sort of like the equivalent of like super smooth moves or whatever.
Oh, cool.
So this is, in Japan, this is kind of more branded as like, this is a sequel, like a follow-on to that.
Nice, great.
So,
why wouldn't they do that here?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, what is it called here? It's called Move It.
Right.
That's kind of, they got the word move.
Yeah.
Smoother moves. I wouldn't like to play that. That's
Super Smooth Moves is a cool name.
Yeah. They called it that.
I think those are the main things, right? Like, I went into this just thinking, there'll be nothing in this. There'll be Pikmin, there'll be Splatoon 3 DLC, there'll be Pokemon DLC, and sort of that'll be
Pokemon
it.
DLC.
There was Pokemon DLC, Detective Pikachu 2.
That's it.
That's right.
Yep. So that was a 3DS game originally?
Mm. Yeah.
Not that old either, right?
A hit motion picture starring Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu.
I think you reviewed it on the Pod Knox.
Maybe. I remember liking it.
Yeah.
It was all right.
This is coming to the Switch, the sequel, Detective Pikachu Returns, I think it's simply called.
Yeah.
That was kind of a fun game, like a bit slow or something from memory. Obviously geared towards like, you should be able to play this if you're quite young. So
sure.
It's more like a visual novel kind of thingy.
Kind of, like a Phoenix Wright-y type of type of thing.
But you got that Detective Pikachu helping
you
out.
Coffee.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking little rat or whatever.
So that's cool.
Nothing else like jumps out in my memory.
They
from
showed
it.
Off more of Pikmin 4 and they shadow dropped Pikmin 1 and 2
that's onto
the eShop, which, I wish they had have been doing that for longer. Just the announce... Right. Announce on the direct.
Here's a GameCube game.
Yeah. We're not going to hype this up for 5 months as if it's a new release.
Right.
It's just on there now without much fanfare. I hope that's their strategy for this kind of thing going forward. Well, if it's not a full-scale remake, if it is just the original sort of game. I've been fucking around with Pikmin 2 a little bit. Good fun.
Okay.
Holds up.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to 4.
Me too.
In, like, when's that out? 3 weeks or some shit?
Yeah, really soon.
Yeah. There's a demo up right now.
Oh, right.
I'm worried to. I thought about, like, should I go 1, 2, and 3 now before 4? But four looks like it makes some differences, some changes from those ones in a way that means maybe I wouldn't be burnt out on it, but it seems like a lot of Pikmin.
Yeah,
I started to. I've played a few hours of it. I got up to a bit that was going to take me, like I had to like start it again. And I went, this is a good time to bow out now.
Sure,
the new one, right. This has scratched the Pikmin itch for this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new one's out in 3 weeks. Like, yeah, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care enough about experiencing the original to like, bash my head against the wall trying to do this bit.
You've got to come in with the full Pikmin lore in your head.
Olimar, Louis.
Three.
Yep.
Yeah, that was about it from the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
All the Arkham games are coming out on there.
That's weird as well, yeah.
Let's see how they run.
A lot of things like that of like, okay, that just seems like a long time to have waited to put out. Because the most recent one of those is 8 years old.
Yeah.
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 So, and yeah, it was a PS4 game, so it will be interesting to... I feel like there might have been something during the week where that one will require an online connection or something, so that would suggest it was one of those streaming ones.
Oh, sure.
Like they've done with Resident Evil 7. And...
Oh, I think it will also... I do know that I read somewhere the physical version of it only has one of them on there.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. Those little cards are always... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But good for them.
Yes. Mm.
But yeah, this was such an unexpectedly good direct. I think I was saying a few weeks ago that they had said in a shareholders meeting recently that they didn't quite sell the number of Switches that they were expecting to in a certain quarter. So this really seemed like them going, oh, people are holding off on this now because they think it's not worth it because a new one will be coming soon.
Right.
Well, let's hit them with some new fucking Mario and see. Like, this really felt like a... We got to convince people that, like, it's a good time to get in. There's still stuff coming out. The back catalog's there.
And it was coming out. It's coming out in October. So they've been working on that for a while, obviously, the Mario game. So it's not like they're, like, scrabbling. They're just – it's still no fucking Metroid Prime 4, so that'll be on this week. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It seems like generally people have switched into the thing of, like, well, the Switch 2's next year.
People keep – yeah, like, friends who don't – who aren't really as tapped into this stuff, a few people have said to me, like – oh, is it worth getting one now or are they about to bring out the new one? I'm like, but it's still, like, you can still play.
Well,
you clearly don't care about keeping, like, you're asking me this 6 years into the Switch coming out.
Yeah.
So you clearly aren't fussed about being up to date.
There was a couple of things this week that were like, I'm not quite sure where they came from, but one of them was like Bobby Kotick, the Activision guy, had like been talking to Nintendo at some point, and I don't know where he said this, it must have come out in the Microsoft stuff, that he understands the Switch 2, or he called it the next generation of Nintendo console or something.
Okay. Good name.
Generic like
let's
that.
Yeah. Let's stick with that.
Yeah. Super smooth moves.
Yeah, he shortened it to like NX or something, I guess.
That will be roughly the power of like a PS4, which... It makes sense.
Sure, yeah.
Yep.
And Nintendo said somewhere...
I feel like this was in their latest...
This was another shareholder meeting. Yeah. They're going to carry over the Nintendo account.
Yes.
But they said it real weird, where they were like, we want to make the transition to the next generation smooth for people by using the Nintendo Online ID.
Yes.
So it didn't necessarily... say anything particular about, like, you'll keep your library and it'll be backwards compatible.
No.
Because you could get your Nintendo ID from the 3DS to the Wii U to the Switch. Like, that's already been the case.
Yes.
In, to the word, what they've said. You know what I mean? So, people started taking it as, like, great, backwards compatible, which would be the smart thing.
Sure, but maybe it just means, like, well, yeah, if you're a Nintendo Online subscriber, you know, that'll just automatically go across and you'll have access to all of those digital games.
But I wouldn't even necessarily expect the digital games from the way they worded this.
Yeah, right.
It'll just be, like, I think all that this promised was like, yeah, you won't have to set up a new account.
Yeah, they've got so many people signed up to that thing that, like, obviously they want to keep that going as the thing and not have it be like when you get the console, you have to create a whole new ID using a whole new system.
Which you haven't had to do since, for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, you know, jump the gun and take that as like, good, I can buy every digital game and sell my Switch today.
Yeah.
But
I just meant the subscription, like the old games.
Even those, like the virtual console and shit is stuff that they replaced between the Wii and the Wii U. Like, you had to rebuy those same games.
Yeah, that's true.
You had to. But so, like, I wouldn't take anything as a given from Nintendo. Even though they have been really good about backwards compatibility in the past. Like, the GameCube, you could play those discs on the Wii and the Wii on the Wii U.
Yeah.
So the Switch was kind of an aberration, weirdly.
Yeah. I think because there's such an unknown quantity with this stuff, even just them saying, oh, well, of course, you'll keep the same account name, even that is enough of a step in the right direction for people where they're like, oh, thank God, because you just never know with them. Like, they could go, you just never know if they'd be like, yeah, it's not a handheld anymore and it's going to have a whole completely different ecosystem.
Yeah, we're changing the name of Nintendo as well, so you can't have a My Nintendo account.
When you get it out of the box, you are going to have to go through a 45-minute sign-up process where you need 10 forms of ID.
Yeah, we'll make you dance to test the little camera that's on it now.
Yeah, you got to put the actual console together yourself, so you got to buy a soldering iron.
Oh, IKEA style. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Nintendo are 100% the person who's like, I said I can do it, not that I would do it.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, I saw people getting excited about that, and I want to come along here and temper expectations, which is such a fun thing to do.
You want to pour some cold water on it.
Have a little bit of fresh stream water. Isn't that great?
Yeah, wake you out of your reverie.
Isn't reality fun to be in?
So, that's Nintendo for the week. What else have we got going on?
Well, though, speaking of the Microsoft thing briefly, there was some cool, we've talked about it, but they're like properly in court now.
Yes.
With the FTC, I believe.
Yes.
And
yes,
Microsoft,
right.
You mean?
Microsoft, I mean.
You just went from Nintendo to like, they're in court.
I said, speaking of Microsoft.
People going, whoa. Yes.
If you couldn't hear that, then I doubt you could hear me pushing my glasses back up the bridge of my nose.
But imagine being on the stand and ripping out an actually in court. Actually, Your Honor.
No, sorry if I said it too smartly for you to hear. But speaking
Thank
of Microsoft, they are in court with the FTC.
Which is a new thing. Right, but over the past maybe 2 weeks, 10 days or so,
it's another step in this fucking process.
Yes.
But there's been
what
some
does FTC stand for?
Fuck Tommy Cunt,
yeah, nice,
free the chicks,
yeah, dude.
Federal tit comptroller,
oh, what a job,
Federal Trades Commission,
yes,
yeah.
That's the funniest one so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My favorite thing out of this, there's a few things, but my favorite one is people found out how much Horizon Forbidden West and Last of Us 2 cost to make, and it was north of $200 million each. And the reason they found this out is because Sony had submitted documents to the court with that information redacted, but they redacted it by marking over with a black marker on a page.
Classic.
Those things. You'd think it's good enough for the spies, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
When you scan that document, the light behind it makes it see through. So people could just turn up the fucking contrast on this image and see through every redacted section of that document.
Incredible.
Going into
stuff.
Office Works for a refund on your black marker and being I tried to redact some spy documents with this fucking thing.
Yeah, this might cost us $1 billion.
Didn't work. I'd like my $2.70 back, thanks.
It's crazy. Like, it's all stuff that, like, I obviously isn't pertinent to the case, or else they wouldn't have been able to redact
it. Yeah, true.
But it's, like, interesting stuff like that, and, like, how much Call of Duty was worth to PlayStation in 2021, I think it was. They made over $800 million off of Call of Duty alone in that year. So no wonder that's such a center focal point of this whole thing. But there's like an email from Jim Ryan, who's the PlayStation guy, to someone else, obviously, or maybe he was sending it to himself just as a reminder.
I send emails to myself all the time.
It's quicker than Google Drive sometimes.
Absolutely.
But he was saying in this email that, like, I know that Microsoft aren't actually trying to make Call of Duty exclusive. Their plan is different to that. Things like that, that for the specifics of this case might be a big deal.
There was also a great pair of emails that Jason Schreck.
I said I love a great pair.
Oh, the Federal Tit Comptroller.
Exactly.
Jason Schreck, our friend Jason Schreier, tweeted out. It was great. It was, I think it was Phil Braun, who was a Bethesda employee.
Yeah.
Initially emailed someone at Microsoft. mm-hmm. being like, oh, okay, would love to have maybe had some heads up on this so we can clarify our response.
About like the exclusivity of like Starfield and yes, so on.
Yes, because they it was basically quoting stuff saying like, look, we're not going to make Call of Duty exclusive. We're going to just bring it into the ecosystem.
Phil Spencer have been out there, so they've already given Bethesda the command, basically.
Yes. Oh, they've acquired Bethesda, basically.
Here's the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Flashback to 1951. Space War is being developed for the oscilloscope. They'd acquired Bethesda and... said to Bethesda that, like, hey, going forward, your games are Xbox games.
And publicly.
And yes, exactly. They'd already said that. And then Phil Spencer's out there giving some interview where he's like, oh, we're not trying to make Call of Duty exclusive by buying Activision. That's not the point at all. It'll never be exclusive. So then he's sending one to, like, Phil Spencer and crew being like, would have been great to know this because we're kind of doing something different. We've been advised to do that. And Todd Howard is going to be out there doing interviews, so it would have been good if he'd have known this ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then a second email about the same thing to the boys.
Like, to his colleagues at Bethesda.
That was like, why are they treating us differently? They told us to do it. What's the difference between us and Call of Duty? Mm. This is crazy that they're out there without talking to us. What's going on here? Pretty funny.
And side by siding them, it was a perfect illustration, and I think it's what Jason said of like emailing the boss versus emailing the team of like you just phrase things a little bit differently. But it's I think it's totally fair. It's like, well, why is it okay to buy Bethesda and then make all of their releases Xbox exclusive and Game Pass day one and not for Call of Duty? Well, because one of them's going to court. That's the reason, I guess.
The CEO of Microsoft was called in as well. I forget his name.
Bill Gates.
No, you've come out of your big ice block that you were frozen in.
Yes.
Encino Ben. Ben Encino Man.
I can't believe you said Encino Ben over the top of me about to say Ben Encino Man.
Ben Vernel Ben.
Well, that's not bad.
There we go.
I had to give my name at the coffee shop before, and they made me give my last initial as well.
Yeah. Another Ben to had be beaten fair. You in for a coffee? Nice.
To be fair, that's because you punched someone in the back of the head when you were in there, and it was the cops asking you for your
my
name.
My height. Well, see my license number.
That's not relevant.
Ben, policeman for Ben. For Bem. The Microsoft CEO was saying, like, I'd love for all Xbox games to be on every platform if I had my run of the place and if I could choose things, but it's actually PlayStation who started the exclusivity competition, or he's like, the leader in the market is the one who their business plan is exclusives.
Right. What about Nintendo?
I know, Nintendo also have always been that.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is...
What he means is our enemy... has exclusives.
Well, and I think what he means is like, we'd like to be the only people making games.
Yeah.
And
put
them
on every console and every platform and every phone.
That was kind of what I think, because in the Jim Ryan one, it's like their plans are bigger than that.
Right.
And I think that's what he's kind of talking about there, and what clear that Microsoft are working towards is Microsoft is the video game place.
Right.
Everyone develops for the Xbox Game Pass platform.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And anyone can make machines that they want that all run Xbox thing. Like,
that sounds, that sounds like a monopoly to me.
Hey, good thing you're not one of the federal titty boys or whatever. Because you'd be locking them up in clampers. What do they call them?
Handcuffs?
No, there's some older
iron?
Word.
Clapping them in irons?
Flapping them in irons. Yeah. Locking them up in clampers.
Yeah.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah, remember that guy from Futurama, Clamps?
Yeah.
He'd get in on the action.
So all that stuff just, being in court and everyone having a fess up.
It's so childish. Yeah. I love how it is such a like high school drama thing.
It's so depressing how everything always is when it gets to that point too.
True.
Like every massive company, the second they're having to be honest in front of a group of people who are also having to be honest.
Yeah.
Imagine being the man on the street, the like person who's not tapped into video games, who's just been randomly selected to do jury duty for this.
Oh.
He's in there hearing this arguing about Call of Duty, being like, Oh, so boring.
Actually, it's not boring.
Where's Pac-Man coming out?
Why are we only being served Mountain Dew at lunch? This is awful.
I don't know, man. It's pretty weird that Sonic shat in Mario's bed. That's crazy. Yeah, it's all, you know, no adult's an adult.
Yeah.
And when they have to show their emails to you, you see it so clearly.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Speaking of no adults being adults,
yeah.
What do you have a little food based video game?
Well,
item
we've
there?
Talked Nintendo, oh. We've talked a bit of PlayStation and Xbox, and now it's time to talk for, to my mind, one of the most red hot developers in video games at the moment. I'm of course talking about the McDonald's Corporation.
Oh, well, red hot would be Red Rooster.
Oh,
I guess
sure. They do the red hot fried chicken
or Frank's Red Hot. Yeah. Sauce.
Yep. That's probably what's on that chicken.
True.
Yeah. That's why they call it Red Hot.
Yeah. Maybe it is a little collab. Red Rooster X Franks. I'd buy that.
It was.
Line it up overnight. Yes. It's a limited run. They're only making 7 million wings.
Well, the Maccas did that with the Szechuan sauce.
That's true.
And that went really well.
That did go really well for them.
They've done it again.
They have done it again. It was Grimace's birthday. The other week.
Happy birthday, Grimace.
Happy birthday to Grimace.
What are you?
He's a taste bud, apparently.
Get fucked.
No, he's not. Bullshit. He's just a purple monster. Who did you hear that from?
There was at one point he was meant to be a taste bud.
Who said that?
I'll shout out a fantastic Instagram account. It's called Filming in McDonaldland. And it's an actual guy who worked on all the McDonaldland ads in the 70s.
Ooh.
And he just shares anecdotes about like what they were thinking when they came up with those kooky characters.
That's
and like
pretty cool.
Production
that's sick,
art
yeah.
And like,
so was Birdo because they sold chicken if they're thinking about it that much?
Maybe,
that
I don't know.
That makes sense, yeah.
I don't know if Birdo's ever come up under his radar.
Wait, not Birdo.
Birdie.
But yeah, Grimace's birthday, so that whole bunch of, they had like a purple shake that
yeah.
you could get in the States. Can't get it here, apparently. They also put out a Grimace's birthday Game Boy Color game that you can play online in your browser, but they've also, people dumped a ROM of it, and if you put it onto like a flash cart and play it on an actual Game Boy hardware, it properly runs on there.
Yeah, wow.
Which is pretty cool.
It's great marketing. Like,
yeah.
It took everything in my power not to be like, oh, fuck, we should do a video. I thought, like, we should do a video about this, but then I was like, wait, I'm playing into their hands.
Yeah.
I will say full credit to them. They got a company called Cruel Toys, K-R-O-O-L Toys. Great Instagram account. They're always making their own little...
This guy loves Instagram accounts yeah. about McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's the best app. It's the healthiest app. They do
I
a
never
lot
would
of...
have guessed that this guy's obsessed with McDonald's.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Move your hand,
yeah,
Tommy.
I'm wearing a McDonald's jumper that I made.
What he means is it's a plain jumper and he's spilled a bunch of Big Mac sauce
yeah.
on
yeah,
there.
It's merch now. yeah, this company, Cruel Toys, they're like a group of developers and they make little bespoke Game Boy games for... Like, they do just, like, random art projects just for themselves. They just did one as a collab with Metro Boomin, the musician who put together the last Spider-Verse soundtrack. It's, like, a one-off thing for him. So, yeah, they got these guys to do it, which is cool. Like, it shows that someone in there has actually gone, let's get, like, people who know what they're doing to make this game rather than just get, you know, someone who works in the office who knows a shred of coding to just put some bullshit together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I played through the browser version of it. It takes like, it's pretty brief, but it's fun. It's you Grimace on a little skateboard. It's, you know, challenging-ish little platformer thing that's got like, you know, you get like a percentage clear thing at the end. So it's kind of designed for you to run through a few times and try and get everything and beat your own times. It's cool. It's well done.
Okay.
It's well put together.
Nice.
But also over there at McDonald's China, they've come up with their own little scam where they have developed, and I got this in the mail today. I'll hold this up for the camera. It's a big plastic McNugget that has Tetris on it.
Oh, my God.
And it's in like sort of a replica of like a Nuggets box.
It does kinda look like, a little Nugget pack. And is there going to be one extra Game Boy in there just as a little treat from the...
You can't play it without sweet and sour sauce.
No, that's the default. You put it in the burger... Or I guess you put it in the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Well, and then you eat the whole thing and it's like a secret burger. Fuck, it's huge.
Yeah, when I opened the package, when the postman dropped this off and I opened the package and saw there wasn't Szechuan sauce in there, I started screeching at him, rolling around
Naruto,
on the ground.
Naruto running.
For some, I guess because it's nugget shaped,
it's
like a little Game Boy thing. This is going to sound awful crinkling into the microphone. You know those little tiny Tetris LCD screen things you used to get in like the early 2000s.
Mm.
It's one of those, and because it was in the shape of a nugget, I assumed it would be the size of a nugget, but it's the size of like, I don't know,
a Game Boy Micro or something.
Yeah, like a phone, but thick.
Yeah.
Fat ass is. Phone. Nice.
Oh, there we go.
Wow. It's functional.
It's got four.
Yeah, it's functional.
Oh.
Comes with batteries already in it. When do you ever see that?
I don't know if you can hear the fucking. Oh, that sounds awful. I hate that. That's genuinely making me so like antsy.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Not
I can
a good...
mute it. Okay.
Okay, it's got a mute button.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Now I'm just straight up playing Tetris on my McNugget. This is mad. I'm going to Vietnam in 2 weeks. No Switch, no iPad.
You don't need
imagine
it.
I get on the 8-hour flight and imagine sitting behind me and all you see for 8 hours is me playing Tetris on my Big McNugget.
I can see,
and it's sound on for the whole
screwdriver
trip.
Screwdriver out to replace the batteries halfway through the flight.
Which you're allowed to have on planes.
Yeah.
Lithium ion batteries and screwdrivers.
Go right up to the main camera, Tommy, and give people a good look for the,
all right.
For the YouTube.
It's like a shitty LCD display.
Yeah,
I don't know why we're fucking reviewing it, but it looks heaps like I used to have a little blue like keychain one.
Oh yeah,
from 2000 or something. It called itself like 165 games in one.
Oh, one of those.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was it was Tetris.
Yep.
In 164 different variants.
It feels nice. Nice buttons. Have a feel of that.
It looks like a piece of shit, honestly.
Yeah. Now, when Tommy said nice buttons there, I must say, not to be
contrarian.
He was talking
about your shirt, Knox.
Yeah. I hugely disagree that these are nice buttons. I think these are...
What's wrong with them?
It looks gross.
Feels better than a Joy-Con.
No, they're mushy and terrible.
I do love...
It feels like I'm pushing a nugget.
I do love the concept of a thing where... If someone didn't say to you, this is a Tetris on a big chicken nugget, you would be like, why?
Yeah.
Why is this shaped like this?
Did you leave your Game Boy in the car and it melted?
It got sun damaged and it melted.
You got to turn that off. That's killing me.
It's got a little M on it for McDonald's.
Yeah. The LCD is displaying Tetris and a constant M.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a piece of crap.
Congratulations,
Tommy. It
really
is a piece of Chinese crap.
When the world heats up, you'll know you've really contributed to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
A dolphin's going to die choking on that. And then the dolphin, you'll hear the squeals of the dolphin overpowered by bing 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 bing.
Well, you know, this Microsoft lawsuit, they're pulling in everyone from all corners. I can't wait to find the link where they managed to bring the Tetris nugget into the case. Someone from Chinese McDonald's up on the stand.
It's made all other games obsolete.
Exactly, yeah.
Tetris is exclusive to the McNugget.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a piece of dog shit that I'm surprised you got in the mail.
Mm.
You know, something that I'd be thrilled to get in the mail.
Mm.
Something not made to the standards of, will it hold together for 40 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's a nice little sticker pack actually with it too, it looks like. Is that a sticker pack or just
instructions?
Yeah,
it's a little sticker pack.
That may be the best thing about it.
Yeah.
There's little Macca stickers.
Something that doesn't come with a sticker pack but does last pretty much for as long as you'll need it to.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly mine has. Is the products of Manscaped.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are the products of Manscaped.
This is me shaving my balls. Bing, bang, bing, 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 bing. I hated that music.
Wow.
So I don't know if you
Adam's
had the
steel wool pubes that set off the razor.
I do hum the, you know, bum, 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 when I shave my pubes. So,
yep.
You know, but I do it in a nice tone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that noise, like hurt your ears as much as it did mine.
It was not pleasant.
Yeah, boy. Anyway, Manscaped, a beautiful hum of a well-made razor, chopping at your balls. hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They make great products that are for personal grooming.
Yep.
Yes.
And I use them and enjoy them.
Yeah, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the current body hair trimmer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. It does the job. No nicks, no cuts. It's got a little length attachment, so you don't have to go full baby style.
Baby style.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the term that we were asked to use. But yeah.
full bald. So you can adjust that. I have two and I use one on my face. It's a great beard trimmer. They are coming out with a beard trimmer as well. But the Lawnmower 4.0, fantastic. The Weed Whacker 2.0, it's doing my nose. It's doing my ears. And that's all I'm willing to say on the podcast.
Those are the main holes of the face, other than the mouth.
Yeah.
Always thinking it's the fucking the main character.
Yeah, but there's no hair in the mouth. And if there is, then go see a doctor.
Yeah.
You can also tell your doctor, hey, I can stay here for a bit extra because I got 20% off and free shipping on my Manscaped order by using the code FILTHY.
That's right.
And your doctor will say, just bend over.
That's very good for you to pass the savings on to your doctor. Boy, he's hard up. He's really struggling at the moment.
Yeah.
It is true, though. You wouldn't be telling your doctor a lie. It'd be 20% off and free shipping if you use the code FILTHY when you go to Manscaped and you buy one of their products.
Yeah.
Or several, or however many you need.
Mm.
But I recommend doing that. And while you're there, clicking away on your little computer, tapping and typing away on your device, your little McNugget that you're buying things on.
I bet that is maybe the only device that cannot have NordVPN on it.
You guys will be, we'll see who's laughing when I mod it so I can play Skyrim on it.
You know what? Then I will need to incorporate one into the Infinity Machine.
Yeah, true.
If you end up doing that. So please don't figure that out.
But you keep your Infinity Machine protected using NordVPN.
I make sure that I can, it. The word infinite means I should be able to go anywhere in the world and I can travel with NordVPN by doing exactly that. It's a really useful tool to have a VPN, and NordVPN is the one that we all use and recommend.
If you travel as well physically, then having NordVPN on your device means you can still access your home-based services. You can get your Netflix Australias. You can get your wherever, whatever, you know.
Shakira style, you can go. NordVPN.com/filthy is a place to go and have a look at their stuff because they make a good VPN. And it's the one that we recommend and also happen to have that discount for. You get a bonus month.
You do.
Yeah. Imagine that same doctor telling you you've got one extra month.
Oh.
You'd be clicking your little heels together in the air like an old chimney sweep.
That's right.
And then fall over on your head and squander the month.
I'll be using NordVPN while I'm in Vietnam to get on 10Play and catch The Project every night.
Just
keep up to date with the Australian news delivered differently.
They're calling him the man who's enjoying his Vietnamese holiday the least. We've got him here on the project.
I genuinely will be, I'll be in the UK in September and I'll be using my VPN to watch the footy. The AFL footy finals are in September. So,
wish I'd said that.
NordVPN.com/filthy. Go there or stay here and listen to us talk about.
You could do both, honestly.
Multitask, baby. Yeah. Unless you drive in listening to this, in which case, pull over.
Sign up for NordVPN.
Pull
over.
Yeah.
We're
sorry, I was
you.
Late, boss.
Wait, you're protected on the internet now? Oh, it's fine then. Please, don't worry about
you're
it.
You're the boss now. we've all been playing a game.
Yeah, this game features several bosses, actually.
They're some of my favorite parts.
Mm.
We've all been playing bloody Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah.
For like a week now.
Yes, sir. We certainly have.
So this game, it's the 16th in the Final Fantasy franchise.
Now, you'd think common sense would tell you you were right.
Yeah, no, there was 13 too, wasn't there? There was also...
There's a fuckload. There's World of Final Fantasy.
Yes.
There's Dissidia 012. Like, there's...
Yeah, Final Fantasy IV, The Crystal Chronicles.
Final Fantasy IV, The After Years.
Yes.
There's all sorts of bullshit, and there's yet another confusing entry in Final Fantasy, but this is the 16th
numbered release.
Yeah,
the mad lads at Creative Business Unit 3 are at it again.
Yeah. I swear we'll be more creative after the name, but that's gotten our boring part out of the way.
That's it. Well, they're focused on their games for the most part.
They are. It's a lot of the people from the 14 team,
right,
who have been working on this one.
It's them and also the combat designer from the Devil May Cry franchise.
And there's some Kingdom Hearts people here as well, I think. There's like a lot of different hands.
Oh, some people who worked on 12 as well.
Right.
Which may also be the 14 ones, but yeah.
And this is kind of similar to 12 in some ways, like the story and things like that. Okay, where to start?
Where to begin? We all played the demo,
yes.
And we were very, very impressed by that.
Yes. Very slick, very polished. Cinematic stuff was engaging.
Yep.
Story seemed like it was going to be very, very interesting from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Beautiful polish, you know, the user interface, all of that shit looks very nice.
Yep.
I agree.
I don't really know where to begin.
I've been enjoying this game plenty. I think the combat is very good.
Yep.
Once it lets you play it enough.
Mm-hmm.
My major thing with the game so far that is my primary negative point, Mr. Federal Titty Commissioner, that's why I'm speaking like this. Is
you are under oath. You realize that.
Yeah. I think it's paced way too slowly and the pacing of the story and like the development of the combat and stuff like that reminds me of 13 in a way, which was massively derided at the time.
Yeah.
And has some similar, some aspects of this game are similar to it in that like it's quite linear for the most part. And
yeah.
All of that sort of thing. I think the characters are less annoying than the 13 ones were, at least early on.
Yeah, yeah.
The writing of them is okay, and the story is pretty good. I think there's like a noticeable reduction in like, especially with 15 being the last sort of main one, the whole thing of that is you got your four boys,
yes,
and they're bonding on a road trip, and they all sort of develop and they've got characters and
they're
personalities.
They're helping each other overcome obstacles. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of missing that aspect of Final Fantasy games of like the traveling group.
Yeah.
Because
even just like having a party, like I know that it's gone to more of a focus of being action oriented, and I think the combat's great. I don't really have an issue with that, but it does. You have people that join you, but you're never playing as them. You're not having to like shuffle people in and out of your party. You're not having to like learn other people's sort of like strengths and weaknesses and switch around them in battle. And I just do like I'm enjoying the combat and I'm enjoying the story. And that's good because to me, that's literally all that's here. And I kind of wish it feels like it's just missing one extra little element that would be really pushing it into like all-timer territory for me. Like maybe a bit more exploration or like, yeah, having a party that you were like switching around between. Like you were in 7 Remake, which feels sort of similar combat-wise to this, but just had a little more to it where you had to be thinking a little bit more while you were in battle.
Yeah.
You play this whole thing as Clive.
Yes.
The main character.
Yeah, I'll share my thing and then maybe we start from the start after. Like, I think it's good game. It's good game.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got this.
I think we differ on this a bit, Nox. I don't feel that it is a Final Fantasy game in almost any way except for there's chocobos. Like, there's not enough of a connection to what I feel is Final Fantasy. But it is a enjoyable, polished, AAA action game with, I think, severe deficiencies in, like, character motivation and like, general storytelling. And there's a lack of complexity to it, which I feel is a drawback.
I think, a lot of that complexity is sort of placed in with an eyedropper over the course of the game that is maybe just a touch slow. But I've seen other people say that same Final Fantasy thing as well, of like it not seeming like a Final Fantasy game, which, yeah, I don't. I can see the evolution of how these games have ended up here. You know, if you look at what they did with 7 Remake and then 15 and then like just kind of go, it feels like it's on that same trajectory to me here. And then the whole thing is like, you got the big monsters and you got the crystals and, you know, it's doing a lot of, the gameplay is certainly like a significant change though for Final Fantasy where it's all real time and it's like a very much an action game.
Yeah.
You can see that Devil May Cry thing here and I'm really enjoying that combat once it gives you a little bit of leg stretching to do because it takes a fair while of it being pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have you have your elemental stuff.
But
and
it's
then
not elemental. Yeah. No. Yeah,
well, not even that, but you have your little like special attacks.
Yes.
And then you gain the power of like a different element and you think, oh, okay, this is really going to open up now because I'll have all these different attacks. And all I was finding was they do basically the same damage. They function basically the same as the ones you already have. All it really does is just give you a couple more options so that you're not as hindered by the cooldown.
Yes.
Like to get that first batch of new attacks and think like, oh, now it's really going to open up. And it's like, oh, this is just
more of the same sort of attacks.
I think it's like, when you get into the bigger enemies and like going on the later hunts and like it takes a while before it starts giving you stuff that is difficult enough that you need to think about them differently. The system is that you have all of these different, they're called icons in this, who will be essentially like weapons that you're switching between almost.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
A different sort of group of special attacks.
It's funny, it is, they are different elements.
And they are elements, yeah. So it's stupid that they don't, that they don't have any practical.
There's no elemental strengths or elemental weaknesses to any of the enemies or to you.
Yeah, which I think is like, I get that like maybe that would be interesting, but also I tend to find if something is weak to blue, you always use blue. And so it almost restricts you more than, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think it's better than everything is, nothing is weak or strong to anything.
I think when
I think the way you put it, Tommy, is kind of how I feel about it as well. It's just more of the same thing. But the only benefit to unlocking these extra icons is you can cycle between the attacks while you're waiting for the other ones to recharge.
That is functionally true once it's so easy, but once it gets harder, like
I haven't found it hard yet. Like I'm slightly ahead of you story wise, and I reckon I've died 3 times playing this game.
There's like one boss and a couple of hunts that are essentially like big boss animals that I found it with, and can see it starting to pepper in a bit more of that stuff. And you can see that the system has room for it. So for example, there's an attack in like the second one that you get that is like when you use it, you'll dodge back a bit and then launch forward and do an attack. And if you time it so that it actually works as a dodge, then it'll do extra damage. There's some that are area based and that will get multiple enemies. There are some that will do lots of damage to one enemy. And the differences are not game changing between them, but they you do get different attacks. You know, they don't. It's not like all just kaboom. But I agree that like especially in the sort of first half, which I think you and I have both done, and into the sort of back half of like the main stuff, and then I've been doing all the side stuff as it's popped up. Yeah, it's like it's got more depth than it's requiring you to interact with.
Well, right. To be clear, I don't think I would be really noticing that so much in the combat. I kind of feel like for where I'm at, so I'm like maybe a quarter to a third of the way through. So this might change, but this is still a significant chunk of the game into not be doing any of this. There's very little in the way of exploration. Like any of the like movement around the areas I'm doing is that it still is treating me like I'm at the like first 10 minutes of a JRPG where it's like you're walking 100 meters and then there's a cutscene or a fight. And so if I was and I know that like
that
essentially every game is repetitive, like that's what they are, but you know, I kind of feel sort of the same way about God of War where there's Ragnarok, where there's something where you realize every game that you're playing is repetitive and sometimes you're loving it so you don't notice or you don't care. Mm-hmm. But then once you do notice it, you really do notice like I walk for a bit and then I'm fighting people in an arena and it like, yeah, I mean, Final Fantasy VII Remake had tons of cutscenes. It had all that kind of stuff, but then you would get into a little town and you would be walking around doing little bits and bobs and stuff in between all these bits of combat. This just does feel like I'm watching 20 minutes of a movie, doing a fight, walking 100 meters and repeating. So if I was doing like maybe if there was like a bit more of a gameplay element to it that I was finding a bit more satisfying, maybe I wouldn't be noticing those things in the combat as much, you know, or I'd be a bit more able to like see past it because it's a bit more of like a rounded thing. But it just,
it is like, giving you a couple of side quests every now and then that you can do, but yeah, they're not like, it doesn't feel like exploration. It feels there are literally two like, at a time or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, even and I something think like with, Bayonetta, with, you know, you're doing the same like combat, but you're exploring a bit, like
it like needs it quicker. And it's the same as with 13, where that was so linear, and then at like 30 hours or something, it opened up.
Yeah,
which I think this is doing a similar thing, but a difference maybe is that, like, I think people noticed it so much in 13 because you always had a map on the screen in
right.
the corner,
yeah,
and it literally just looked like a line,
yeah, yeah.
And this,
hey,
you've got to press the touchpad to go to the map.
Sometimes there's a fork in the road that immediately rejoins itself.
I know they've got these weird little hooks, and yeah, you're driven along this. Line, which again, plenty of games do, but I think the speed at which it's driving you is too slow.
Right.
Yeah, in this game, where like it's in small ways as well as like overall, where like it shouldn't take 20 hours before it starts opening up, and then also if you're going into a cutscene to talk to people, it shouldn't take 5 seconds to pan down before they start talking every time. And it's
what was that thing? The millennial pause.
Yeah,
you know, filming a selfie. That happened to Clive in one of the cutscenes.
It kind of
it was so weird. He just was like, anyway.
it's really oddly directed in that way, where like it is.
Yeah, let's talk about the story. That's what I kind of meant to like bring us back to the story,
because it starts out so strong. Like we were all talking after the demo that it really comes out of the gates, and it does do a lot of stuff really well in regards to how it's presenting the story. The active time lore thing, I think, is such a great function that I've seen a lot of people say this should just become the default in a game like this that has a sprawling story. You can hold onto the touchpad thing at any point and it just brings up a little context-sensitive glossary of like who, in that scene, who's this person? Here's this city they're talking about. And it is so helpful, especially for something that is steeped in so much lore. And often in stuff like this, I tend to, you know, I'll accidentally have just like switched off for 5 seconds and missed a key part of information, then I'm just at arm's length for the rest of it. So I have found it very easy to keep engaged with it the whole way through, because the minute you're like, wait, what's the city they're talking about? Then you quickly go in, oh, okay, right, great.
Yeah, and it hasn't really been used as a crutch where like they're not bothering to make stuff make sense in context without digging into that. Like I haven't been using that at all.
Right.
Because to me it's like the codex that you've gotten in like so many games of like, you know, you had that in like Mass Effect or whatever, where it's like
It reads like the sort of thing where they have this written down internally when they're working on the game. It's kind of like their style Bible, and like well, why wouldn't you just put that in there for people to just access? Like, you know, they've thought about the backstory of these cities, whether or not they're having characters express that.
It's like a fantasy book that just has the map at the start or whatever. Like, it's got like, here are the main houses and like.
But yeah, it starts off strong. It felt like it was setting up all of these characters who are interlinked. Their motivations are going to affect each other. There's a bit of, you know, resentment. There's some like, you know, there's maybe a betrayal that happens. There's, you know,
political dealings and then different warring countries.
And then I think it very quickly, you very quickly lose investment in most of what's happening. I think like the main through line of your character, Clive, it becomes...
yeah, it's sick that his name's Clive.
It's the best thing about him, honestly. He initially, his only character trait is like, I want to get revenge.
Yep.
And that morphs into it something else, which is also just one character. Like, I think he's very simplistic. And there's not a lot to hang yourself on, which is not always required, even in a Final Fantasy game specifically. Like a sort of blank slate main character is okay. But I think because there is that lack of a real party, real sort of group dynamic, a Mass Effect, from, you know, all your mates on the ship, it leaves me feeling a little cold when it comes to investing in the story.
People kind of come and go, and then a new person is...
And even those people, and those people themselves, there's not very many of them that are interesting. And there's not very many of them full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I found it quite as unengaging as that. It's been fine, but it is very, like, young adult fantasy type book. Mm-hmm. Del Toro Quest is one that you reminded me of the other day, where it's like... The stuff is all very like, damn, there's a big thing and you got to get it. And yeah, there's been at least two times so far in the like 25 hours or something that I've played of it so far. And I'm doing the side stuff when it pops up. So yep. I think I'm maybe just over halfway through the story or something.
I don't understand how you're not like so sick of it, because all that side stuff I haven't engaged with much of it, but it's so much worse even than the main stuff.
It's so
like shallow.
It's a lot of a guy being like, oh man, I fell over while I was walking to the town and I lost my fucking pocket knife.
Yeah.
And then you go find the pocket knife and he's like, yeah, that's my pocket knife now, fuck off, scum.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
everyone's so rude to you. It does this
bizarre thing at the very start of it where something happens that is
crazy.
Sort of the crux of the beginning of the story, mm-hmm. and you are then sort of Clive is like trying to solve this mystery, and it then delivers an answer to the mystery that is presented as a big surprise.
This is what I was going to say, that this has happened at least twice, yeah, where...
Yes.
But you're like, but it...
But that's what it was obviously, yeah.
It's like,
it's
weird. Like, me and my friend were talking about it, and then I talked to you guys about it, and we're like, because I sort of saw it and interpreted it in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and then they start talking about it differently. I'm like, huh, I guess I just read that wrong.
Right.
And then you do 4 hours, and then it's like, it's like, but wait, am I meant to have had that response as the viewer?
I've had this meant to be a twist.
Same
exact thing.
What is going on?
Two twists where I'm like, I haven't been sitting here fucking super genius Sherlock mind palace figuring it all out.
Moving
like,
stuff around.
There was one where I was like, oh, I'm probably just thinking that these characters look similar or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I must have it right. And then it is that, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. it's impossible to tell whether the game is trying to give you the sort of like, you know, omnipresent, you know, like you are meant to be in on this and like...
Yeah. But the characters aren't, yeah.
Yeah, or whether it does think it's tricked you. It's impossible to tell.
It's funny in that way because like... And I'm like, it's not poorly written, I don't think. Like the dialogue is fine and...
It's better than a lot of games, yeah.
I think the characterization, I agree that
acting's
like...
Great.
It's fairly... like Jill especially, I'm like, man, they didn't really give her much to do, but like...
Also, like... Chuck a love interest in for someone. Romance is interesting.
There is a letter that you get at your desk that is from Jill.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think this is... Well, maybe it is a spoil. I don't know. I don't want to spoil things. But like the way the letter is written
yes.
is extremely different to how the pair ever act together.
Like, interesting.
So yeah, it's odd in that way. And I think that just the whole thing is like it's okay. For me, this has been... But like it is crawling along at such an odd pace that I have found myself getting a bit bored sometimes. But I'm going and doing all those side things, and you can see the sort of MMO, plasma in the game's blood that like is. They're a little fetch questy and whatever, and it's go here and kill these. But I'm looking for any excuse to kill a couple scorpions because I'm really enjoying the combat.
It is really good. Yeah, and I mean, it looks fantastic.
It looks great.
That's why I wish I was exploring a bit more in these environments, because you get into a little forest and it's like, wow, this really looks great.
Mm.
And then you literally just walk up a path a bit,
it's a
and
canal
that's
down
it.
The
that's
thing.
All you. And Final Fantasy VII Remake did have bits like that as well. Where
every Final Fantasy game, other than 15 and I guess 14 and 11, has kind of been like that for the majority of it too.
Yeah, but it
also still had areas where you were spending a decent amount of time in it, sort of exploring and meeting people
and they were,
going
I think,
back and forth.
There was more visual variety because I think I noticed at a certain point in this that. The first sort of linear thing where you end up at a big boss and it's like, I guess it's a long set piece, takes place in a series of grey rooms that kind of look like they were like modeled and then not textured.
Right.
And then after that, there's a series of more grey rooms that you go from one to the next. And then there's like a castle that you fight through and it's all like there are interesting, well-designed bits, and some of the cutscenes look fucking incredible.
Yeah.
But weirdly, there are these extended sections, I reckon maybe four so far, and we're about halfway through-ish, that are just like a series of grey rooms connected by a door that is there so they can load in the next bunch of enemies.
Right. I haven't found those as drab as that, because like part of it is, of course, the style is in this like... dreary, muddy fantasy type of thing.
Yeah.
But some of it is like well, if you're doing that, then yeah, this castle looks like a fucking castle.
Yeah.
And it's all bricks. But so that doesn't mean that if you've picked a style that leads to things looking drab, that that's okay.
Right, right. You know, like it's not fair to compare every game to Elden Ring, but like big scale fantasy thing. Mm. It's like I never felt that way playing that game.
Yeah.
I've found it fine in that respect, but also it's not like, I suppose, standing out necessarily in that way. It reminds me of The Witcher and stuff like that, where it's like this sort of like vaguely European-y kind of fantasy muck for the most part.
I like the cinematic stuff in the battles where it'll cut, and it's very just like quick time sort of stuff. But I do think like the seamless way that you'll be doing gameplay and then it cuts to this, you know, different angles and close-ups and people getting thrown around, even though it is just an excuse for you to do a quick time event, I do think that looks really cool and impressive with how seamlessly that just kind of, you know, kicks off and then chucks you back into gameplay.
The music's fucking awesome.
The music's great.
I'm really, really liking all the music and like how they're weaving that into like it. I really like this, and I don't know if it happened in other Final Fantasy games where the battle theme is sometimes like layered on top of the sort of area music. Where I've that just sort of coming in and, you know, like a fucking Banjo-Kazooie track when you go underwater. Yeah. That works really well, and I'm enjoying all of the music. And
yeah, the music's great.
I really like the approach to accessibility / difficulty, where at the start of the game it asks you, do you want to focus on action or do you want to focus on story, which you're seeing more and more. It's not just like, do you want easy, medium or hard? Like, I think, you know, often the thing that's changing around the conversation with difficulty is that it's not about, you know, it's not just about your skill level, it's about your actual ability. Like, some people just do not have the mechanical ability to play games to the same extent. So it has that it asks you at the start, and then it also gives you right away a series of rings that you can equip that either give you, like, you dodge perfectly every time or you heal automatically, and they're just given to you. They're not, you know, they're not like an easy setting that you toggle on in the menu. They're a piece of equipment that you can choose to equip, and you can look at them and go, oh, I see what this is doing here. This is making it a little bit easier. And you can equip all of them if you want, but then if you have them on, you may not be able to equip other stuff. I just really like the way that is very, it's sort of done without judgment. It's done without saying, you're making this part of the game easier. It's just like, hey, this will just change this for you if you want. I think that's like such like an important little thing to to have, to just make things a bit more accessible for people.
I do wish it had it in the other direction from the start too, because there's a Final Fantasy mode that you unlock after you finish the main game, which I haven't done yet, and you can do a new game plus, but that is a harder mode and it changes up where the enemies are and what types of things and everything like that, and that sounds cool because I'm finding it a little easy.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish that you could go in. I would have gone in on that
from the start.
That's probably the best. Like, it's, yeah, I think I'd prefer that, but I think as someone who is like not engaged in the story, I'm like just rolling straight through it. I'm not having to like reload or anything. The times you do die, the only options are retry and we'll refill all of your potions.
The enemy is like down to basically to the checkpoint health that they had.
I only died once so far to, that enemy at the top of the sort of castle thing was the first time where it was like, no, this person's trying.
Yeah, right.
And that was funny to see, like, oh, I guess I went to the fucking shops in between. Nice. Yeah.
And the other option is just quit to the title. It's like, that's it. You don't get to, like, I mean, you can quit to the title and reload your last save and then you go in the same state. But I think the whole thing is, I think, designed to be very accessible.
Because the combat is, I guess, to go in a bit more of that, if you haven't played this one, and it is different from past Final Fantasy games. It is a lot more similar to something like a Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
You're doing, like, it's that type of attack where you're sort of snapping to the enemy, zipping over to them. Yep. You've got two sort of different types of attacks that you can chain together to, like, do your normal things. And then if you hold R2 and push either square or triangle, you have a special ability that will have those cooldowns. You can switch between the different sets of abilities with L2, and then circle in those different sets will do a different sort of move based on that. And, like, it's that sort of thing where there's, like, five or six different kind of types of attacks and you can switch between them, but the way it's all laid out, once you get your head around it, just flows really satisfyingly.
Yeah, it does feel really, really good.
I think I like it more than the Bayonetta games for some whatever reason. How it's, you know, the feel of it in this, and I guess the like particle effects and the impact of your hits is so like well visualized.
It feels so chunky and responsive, and like it really is well made, and I'm looking forward to the game giving me more access to it.
It doesn't, I don't think it quite, the perfect dodge thing that you do doesn't quite feel as good as it does in Bayonetta, but it's like way more of a part of the Bayonetta combat than it is here,
especially in all of them.
That thing where you really slow down time, and you get that a bit here, but you don't get that same feeling.
And the window's quite large in this, and I think I'd love to be able to change the buttons myself, because like the dodge is on R1, which is, it takes a while to get used to.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm still pushing circle sometimes, which means like instead of dodging, I'm fucking going right up in front of their attack.
And you also have a parry, which it also does a slowdown thing more than the dodge, I think.
Yeah.
But the parry is literally just like attack at the same time they attack you.
Yeah.
So you kind of just do it anyway by accident a lot.
Especially you get like a God of War Spartan rage thing later on, and that
your limit break.
It lets you do a ton of attacks one after the other, and the number of times I've accidentally parried.
Yeah. I think that's the main time I parry. During that.
It's weird though. It's really hard to know because it is. It's such a polished product. Like it's not glitchy or anything. It's not buggy, certainly not in any ways that I've encountered. It looks great.
Yeah, the environmental design and the like, it kind of reminded me of Death Stranding, where so much effort was put into like, that looks like a real mountain.
Right.
That's real.
That's mud.
Yeah. It looks so real. Yeah.
The monsters and stuff like that too have that cool Final Fantasy type of design where there's lots of little bits of detail to them, and they look really good.
Yeah.
They look really good. They've incorporated some of the like real classic Final Fantasy creatures, and some of them are like mini bosses and stuff, and like all that's really fun. It reminds me of God of War 3, or like just that the whole previous God of War franchise before it rebooted, of like, you're just kind of mashing the attack button and jumping around the screen.
And that kind of scale that it does sometimes is similar to, and it looks really great.
Totally.
Yeah, it is like a high quality product in so many ways, but it is really hard to know whether to recommend, because based off the demo, I really thought, this could be an all-timer. It's I was like, this could even take a run for, you know, the spot up the top of the game of the year rankings. And then now I just feel like there was just something about after that, like that twist that just didn't feel like a twist, where it just sort of took the wind out of it. I was like, I don't get what response this is expecting me to have. Like, I was really liking the writing and the story, and I was prepared to give it the benefit of the doubt and think like, it'll open up soon. Like, I'm kind of really enjoying the thrust of this and how cinematic it is.
Yeah.
And it just like, I just kind of hit this point where I was like, am I meant to be caring? Is this meant to be blowing me away? Because that's what I thought happened 6 hours ago. Like, what have I been on this chase for?
I'm really hopeful that, and like, I've been enjoying the combat enough the whole way through, and the story is fine and like propelling me still. Like, there is a clear thing, and like every time you go somewhere, you know why you're there. It's doing that well, but I'm hoping that, because I've found a similar thing where like the pacing is just like and it's just gotten flatter for a patch, but it feels like I'm on an upward curve now with both aspects.
Sure.
And I'm looking forward to, even if the story doesn't pan out, just being able to stretch that really good combat that has something there.
Yeah.
I wanna stretch that. I wanna be let loose in a China shop.
It sounds like that's going to happen after you finish the game and start it again.
At that point, so it's like, I'm just realistically not likely to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but like the hunts and stuff have been nice so far. I've enjoyed that type of thing. So I'm hoping it just packs more of that into the back half again, like 13 style. Yeah, but it's good. I like it.
That's it. I think end of the day, my opinion is that if this was presented as Devil May Cry 7 Dark Fantasy, I'd probably be like, wow, this is really surprising, because I played the last Devil May Cry and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was an enjoyable game. It was fun. It was over the top. It was, you know, Bayonetta-esque. But coming into this being like, you know, loving 7 Remake, enjoying 15 as opposed to a lot of people, you know, I thought it was pretty fun.
I liked 15 too.
This just didn't fulfill my expectations. That doesn't mean it's bad, but that's, I can only give my perspective. It's what it is.
It feels, yeah. I wonder if it's like...
They've done away with the turn-based combat. What a shame.
They call it Final Fantasy in name only.
You can't even ride a chocobo. It's unbelievable.
His name's Clive. Have you ever heard of anything so stupid?
I think I'm not bothered by it being like the Final Fantasy sort of, if you take that last, and it's like two decades of them being super weird now, it makes sense that this is like them going, okay, this, and that series has always been about reinvention.
Yeah, I do love that they fucked with it to this extent.
Me
like
too.
I think for better or worse, like I do kind of like that they had a go. It is, it still is very fascinating to me that, yeah, in the same year you've had a Zelda and a Final Fantasy, both Japanese RPGs, both been around roughly the same amount of time, and one of them is like very cinematic without a ton of gameplay, tight combat. The other one, combat's there, not much in the way of cinematics. They're there, but you have to really hunt them out, and it's all it's pure gameplay.
Yeah.
Like two completely different sides of the coin from... Yeah, these two things that do share like a lot of DNA.
It's I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I wish it would let me. It's just felt slow. Is my criticism, but it has made me a bit bored of the parts of the game that I am enjoying.
Right,
makes sense.
Shall we hear from some patrons?
We should. Yeah.
All right. Let us see. Tolkien Taters, our old mate.
Oh yeah,
TT. Final Fantasy 16 is a completely non-punishing linear action game. I get it's not what some people want, Ben, in brackets. Not in actually, but that's me. But it does a great job being a bombastic, spectacle-filled fantasy adventure, and I love it for that. Honestly, it's delivering what I wanted from God of War Ragnarok with a great set of characters.
Okay.
Interesting.
That is fair. I mean, we should say it does do... Even though the pacing of the story is weird, I'm finding early on, it does deliver a lot of big... It just does start throwing set pieces at you that are very big and impressive pretty quickly,
yes.
Which is cool.
Yeah. It's funny that the set of characters thing is just what made me think of this, because one of the main characters is a dog.
Yeah.
And that dog, even though he's pretty much the only guy who's with you for, like, all of the time, this is within the first 3 hours of the game, and so that as a percentage, but this is maybe a sort of a spoiler, but it just shows a thing of where I'm like getting put at arm's length sometimes with the game. You lose him when you're a kid, you see him 13 years later, and you're like, oh, that's that dog. Anyway, and like, it's just odd how like how much that sort of moment of like, what the fuck, where's he been, doesn't happen.
Totally.
And that is the sort of tone of it that crops up from time to time where you're like, that's odd.
Oh, yes. When I get home, I won't have seen Cupy for 3 hours and I'll be losing my fucking mind.
Maybe it's more about, me having like a childish relationship with dogs where I'd be like, whoa.
Hey, you're a big now.
I feel that about most of the plot points where it's like, oh, yeah, that's happened. I don't really care, and I don't feel like you're making me care. Like, well,
with that twist that I was talking about, there's that gets revealed, but then you've also been hunting this person, and then it goes back into you doing this quest of hunting this person. And I was like, well, but we know the thing. Like, why am I still hunting this person? And then out loud, Clive goes, why am I still hunting this person anyway? I'm like, well, okay, so you get it. Yeah. Like, why is the game saying to me,
there's like,
what
yeah.
are we doing?
The main thrust of your character's, like, propulsion, their goals, their aims, their quest, everything you're doing in, like, the middle third of the game up until now, I'm like... I don't get the plan. It's like, wait, you're trying to solve this problem by doing this?
Yeah.
This feels like you're kind of the bad guy almost.
Well, I found that fine. I sort of had almost the opposite thing of like, oh, this plan is like so straightforward that I'm bored by it. Almost, you know what I mean?
But also, I think if I don't think about it, I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I guess so. But if I gave it a second thought, it was like, but isn't this like kind of a shitty thing to do if everyone relies on this?
I kind of like that aspect of it, though, where it's like, it's classic Final Fantasy shit where like 7 opens with you blowing up the Mako reactor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm sort of into that bit. It's just that like everyone's sort of explaining why they're going to do it. Like Sid, especially when you're talking with Sid and you're like, why are you doing this, Sid? And he's just like, I reckon it's probably what I should do.
Seems like a good thing to do.
Yeah. Why is he always trying to get us to go hang out with his mates at Wernham Hog? It doesn't make any fucking sense, dude.
The acting is pretty good, though. Like, I've enjoyed everyone's performances so far.
I think the main guy's a little, performatively gruff. Like, I feel like I can see the performance a bit.
He's a bit like Geralt. Like, he's doing a witchery thing sort of as well.
Maybe I don't buy it as much as I do with Geralt. And everyone else, I think, is pretty good. And there's, like, some pretty over-the-top villains and stuff that are all quite, effective. I buy it all. But I think it's just, the overall story, I'm just like, I don't care. We've got a comment here from Aaron who says, I like it so far. My two biggest complaints are that, number one, enemies are attack sponges. I have to slam square a million times to drain the HP bar even a little bit while waiting on the icon powers to recharge, which, that's kind of the gameplay loop of a character action game.
Mm-hmm.
And two, not being able to traverse the map without fast traveling between quest markers. I'm not sure what the point of the world map is aside from fast traveling between points. It doesn't really provide a sense of direction, and having to fast travel between story beats really interrupts the flow and makes the world feel disjointed, which I think is a fair point.
I kind of agree with that. Yeah, it comes up and it's like, hey, look, here's all these locations. You can't go to any of them except this one with the red thing on it.
It feels a little small because
why didn't we just go there? Like, you talk to the person and then they're like, hey, we have to go here. And then it brings up the map. It's like,
just cut.
Click it.
Just,
come on.
Yeah, cut
click
to
on
that
it.
Scene.
It's like, just go there.
That's
fair.
I totally agree. Daniel says, the gameplay loop in this is so addictive. It has more in common with the recent Fire Emblem games than traditional Final Fantasy. I'm not sure about that, but. Some satisfying battle gameplay followed by story cutscenes and some busy work in your base. Oh, okay, that's the explanation.
I guess that's what it's for. Fire Emblem is pure. It literally is just combat and then a cutscene.
Yeah, true.
Just a different type of combat.
Yeah, that structure. Okay. Rinse and repeat. It's got me completely hooked. This game really wants you to just have fun. I think that's probably true.
That's true.
That's it. There's not a lot of extra, brain power required. Ben Kelly. It's not me.
Yep.
Says, the combat feels fantastic and the story has maintained a really nice pace, at least where I'm up to.
Oh, you've changed your tune.
Anything off the critical path feels a little bit budget, though, especially the NPC voice acting / lip syncing and the side quest design, which is probably fair enough.
I would say even with the main cast, the lip syncing is sometimes not great.
Yeah.
I've noticed. It's a little off at times for something that is... You could give a pass to, but then everything else about it is like so high quality and so polished that it does kind of stick out.
And they were saying like we really deliberately did it in the English.
Yeah.
It's weird. Especially when, like I said, I keep saying, Sid's voice is, he's so recognizable that, and I do lose myself to it because it's a good performance. But then the second it doesn't sync up for a moment with his lips, I'm like, oh, that's Finchie.
Yeah.
I have found that I cannot put his voice to his face. But that's not really the game's fault necessarily.
It's Ricky Gervais's fault.
Yes.
He's just such a cunt in The Office.
Yeah.
That I keep him being a good guy, he's selling it fine.
Mm. Yeah.
But I'm just like, you're going to fucking be real mean.
Mark says, 30 hours in, whew, and I have a lot of thoughts. In short, though, I think I love it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that really, that was it?
No, there's more. It's not quite the game of the year elect that the demo had me pumped for, but the music, story, world, and characters are brilliant. The combat's decent. So, like the opposite of our opinion.
Yeah, I think combat brilliant, story decent is probably where I land. So two of us together.
It's a whole positive review. But the exploration and side content feels a little bit dated. It's still the best new Final Fantasy since 12, not including 7 Remake, which is a masterpiece. Bonus points for how polished it is from launch. So yeah, and there's a lot of people who are loving it. Christopher says it's incredibly directed and has a great pace, enjoying the bombastic battles with the complex character interactions in between. However, as a longtime Final Fantasy fan, I was looking forward to a more open world and potentially an airship.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, okay. Yeah. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
I
he does say in brackets, to be fair, that may still be on the cards.
I've seen a lot of people be like, oh man, I'm loving the story, which like, yeah, I wonder if I'm just like missing something or whatever. Cause I think it's fine. Like I'm enjoying it.
It's not a broken piece of writing.
I really like some of the writing in the item descriptions too. There's a few of them that have like a funny little thing here and there that I enjoy. I think, and as far as like, there are worse Final Fantasy stories,
yeah, right.
Which is a story-driven series and has been since close to the start.
I've got to read this one because it says, I joined the Patreon for multiple reasons, but one, to talk about this game.
Oh, fantastic.
So, Andrew, I'm reading your comment. I haven't touched a Final Fantasy game since 12 and usually have to be selective in my games because of work and kids. But this game has caught me completely off guard. I cannot stop playing this or thinking about this game. The story is great with some predictable stuff, but the gameplay is amazing and the music is perfect. I have chosen to play this over Tears of the Kingdom and loving it.
Yeah, I think it like, I wonder if I was... No, I was going to say I wonder if I were like less aware that I'm going to be critically discussing this game if the story were bit... But no, I think I always would have been... Like, okay.
I think, yeah, someone sent or posted or tweeted at me, I think, because I tweeted that I was surprised that this game was getting perfect reviews. Someone sent me...
Ooh, the Twitter bitch.
Steph Sterling, Jimquisition video that was about the story of this game specifically, where she... sort of as a side comment at the start of it, that the sort of issue that a lot of games have where they put too much focus on lore and not as much focus on narrative.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of backstory, there's a lot of explanations,
right,
but there's not a lot of why do you, the viewer or player, care about this? Why does this person feel this way?
Specifically, character motivation in this particular game is maybe somewhere where it's just like it's there because they exist in this world.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that was it. Like, and also, yeah, that video is also worth a watch. It's about how Clive as a character is sort of a, he is like a servant, you know, he's put into bondage and he's marked and about how it appears to an extent. And I think that this isn't like about main plot, but his sort of like, his willingness to operate within the system to achieve his goals rather than overturn the system because the system is inherently flawed. It's an interesting video. It probably has some spoilers in it, so be careful if you haven't played too much.
Yeah, because I think the world building stuff in this game is pretty good. Like the stuff that is like that exists for the story to take place in is interesting.
Yeah,
at least. And like this thing of like, because they've got these notes of like there's all the branded and people are fucking cruel to them and they're non-persons and everything that I feel like it doesn't do much with when it moves forward through those subjects. Yeah, but it's also got like, it's so, it's got like those anime touchstones of like with Attack on Titan, there's literally a scene of like your bones and arm getting like created in the big monster. Like it's doing that stuff in a way that like I'm surprised not to find as fun and interesting as I do in the things it's taking those points from.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Maybe that's it though. You've seen it before.
Man. No.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think that it's because they've put more thought into the backstories of the world than the characters. Attack on Titan, like, yeah, they're some of them are archetypes, but at least they're characters who you think about what would they feel about this. Yeah. Oh, they're reacting in this way. That's expected.
And it's
but
almost,
this is not expected because I didn't know this new thing about them. You know,
it's like almost the other way around in that where the the world stuff exists to create the reasons for the characters to have the changes that
yes.
they do.
Yes,
yeah, and you
totally.
Don't need to read like when you see big chunks where it's like, well, these two towns were involved in a vicious trade dispute 400 right. years ago, and it's yeah. like, that's nice that you've thought of that, but that doesn't...
You get a person later on whose whole job is just to go like, so here's what the yeah. nations are up to right now.
Right.
Like,
yeah, yeah. Which I also felt, as much as I like the... Well, this is probably the reason. I like the setup of the story in the demo because it's all about characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Then after a certain point, I stop being able to process all the information about the world and the countries and the wars and stuff. And I do like that you get this character who's like, all right, let's step over to the map and I'll tell you exactly what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of wish that they had been able to write that exposition into dialogue more naturalistically.
Yeah.
But it's like literally you go to the exposition room and you get exposition.
I think I'm going to finish this game and like I'm hopeful that it is on its way to... following through.
Taken as a whole will be better than the
I have a feeling
moment.
That's the direction yeah. it's sort of moving in, and I hope that I did an upward trajectory motion with my hand and mm-hmm. then realized, uh-oh.
Well, it's caught forever on camera.
There's a bit of this action at the end of it, and then it'll be my game of the year.
I hope the fascist government succeeds.
No. I have a feeling it is moving in a direction that is, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, I feel
but
the same
overall,
way.
I'm really enjoying the combat stuff as that progresses more and more.
I feel the same way about the Tetris Nugget. I just gotta, I'm just gonna try and clock it and then hope that by the end it redeems
yeah.
itself
yeah.
and makes it proves itself worthy of a purchase. Well, we'd better leave it there for another week on Filthy Casuals. Thank you everyone who wrote in on the Patreon.
Yes.
We will be back next week. We are going to a launch party for everybody 1-2 Switch tomorrow that Nintendo are holding. It's not just us getting together and playing the game. We're going to an official event
yes.
That promises to have some Nintendo-themed cocktails. So we'll be Ooh. Back next week to report on our experience of playing the most awaited game of the year mm-hmm. at a launch event.
The story's great. The combat's actually really fun. Yeah, that horsehead guy, I know why he's doing every action that
You're
he's taking.
You're about to find out that we are truly, you know, journalists of integrity and aren't swayed by free cocktails
exactly.
and party pies.
I can't wait to shit on everything but the party pies every time, more than likely.
Get onto the Patreon and support us for Giant July. Great bonus incentives on there for the month and also, our regular weekly bonus episode that's about movies and TV shows and all sorts of other stuff. Check all of that out, filthycasuals.com.au. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next time, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Final Fantasy? Well, how's this? 16 of them! It was called Doki Doki Panic in Japan.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.